and didn't really have a life that I was living that I found happy. I mean, I'm a person who loves weddings. I really am. And I love love, obviously. I write about it all the time. And it's not that I don't love dating and love. I just got engaged and felt suffocated in a way that terrified me. Yeah.
If I take everything to heart that you're about to share with us and teach us today, what could change about my life?
It's to believe that you have the possibility of changing your own life. I mean, I think that we lose that sometimes. We think I'm stuck here. There's no way out. The reality of it is the only person who can change your life is you.
Shonda Rhimes is an award-winning television creator, producer, author, and CEO of the global media company, Shondaland.
The rule was is that I was going to say yes to everything that scared me for 1 year. And that seemed very terrifying.
Did everyone think you're crazy?
Everyone thought I was insane. Why do you like them and want them to be happier than you like yourself and want yourself to be happy? Like, that's the thing. You are literally choosing another person over your own happiness and contentment for reasons that make no sense. It's not going to be a friendship ender. And if it is, that person's the wrong friend anyway. That person's not your friend if this is going to ruin your friendship because you...
Welcome to Pod Summarizer. Visit our website and summarize your favorites podcast.
You won't do what they want you to do. That's a problem. So many things could change about your life. Just start with the idea of yes to talking to yourself like you matter. You know, the words that we say to ourselves is like casting a spell. After a while, you say them enough, you know, they start to really mean something to you. You know, we are far more capable than we give ourselves credit for. Doing the thing that you've been so afraid of generally undoes the fear. So you might as well change. Or at least make the attempt.
Shonda Rhimes, welcome to the Mel Robbins podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for making the trip. I'm so excited to meet you. I've admired your work for a very long time, and I'm excited to have the chance to learn from you. And I'm excited for the person that's with us right now to be inspired by and motivated by and transformed by the things you're about to share. And that's where I want to start. If I take everything to heart, that you're about to share with us and teach us today, what could change about my life?
So many things could change about your life. I think the point is for you to figure out where the problems are in your life and how you can take the things that you've been living with but been dissatisfied by and change them. I mean, that's really the goal.
You know, I tore through your book. I want you to go out and buy this book. It is absolutely fabulous. It is going to be absolutely everywhere. Everyone's going to be talking about it. But what I found was really interesting, and you're going to find this to be interesting too, is that when you originally wrote the book, you were at the height of your career. I mean, you were winning. You were like, just like everything. And yet, you felt like you were hiding?
I really did. You know, it's interesting. Yeah, it was. I owned all of Thursday night and things were going great. I realized that my characters were living these extraordinary, amazing, imaginative, great lives. And I was living in a very small corner of my own life and not willing to step out of it. I was saying no to everything that anybody asked me to do. I was very shy, I had confidence in my writing and that was probably about it. But I did not have confidence in myself when I was not a character, you know, when I wasn't writing in the voice of a character. And my life had become really, really small and very unhappy.
I think so many of us can relate to this idea that life starts to feel very small. And the other thing that really struck me about that is that you had, at least in the world, like you've got a very unique life because in your writing and in the shows that you're producing and all the stories that you're telling, you are actually seeing the characters come to life.
Yes.
But even if you don't have that kind of job in the world, you have an imagination, you have dreams for yourself. Mm-hmm. And I would love to hear you talk just a little bit for the person listening that really relates to that feeling and that sense of being shy or more introverted or feeling that your life is small. And yet you have this sense or this imagination that there's more that you could imagine for yourself. But there's this distance between the little life that you kind of have, but what you have a sense of is out there.
I mean, it's interesting. I think we all have, you know, hopes and dreams of things we want to accomplish. They might be about motherhood. They might be about work. They might be about relationships. It can be about anything. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is most of us are blocked by this huge chasm of fear, right? The being afraid to actually do the thing being stopped by it simply because you don't even know how to begin, being too afraid to just make the leap because what if it doesn't work out? That I think is what stops most of us. And then to make that leap and to leap into it is a really terrifying thing. So I think it's really relatable to have that level of fear and this block between where you want to be, like where you imagine you can be and where you think you could actually get to.
Well, what's fascinating about your life, and when you read the book, you're really going to get a sense of this, is that your life from the outside looks so big and is so impactful. And so it is kind of stunning when you really read and start to understand that your experience was that it was really small and you were saying no to things. Like, what were you afraid of?
I think everything. I mean, I really do think I was a person who uniquely was raised with a very big confidence in my writing voice.
Yeah.
Right. So I was very comfortable with that. But anything else, I was not. I lived through and had for my whole life, basically, lived through stories. Mm-hmm. I had experienced things that way. I wrote about things. I worked things out psychologically by writing them down. None of it had anything to do with being in the actual real world. You know, none of it. And so I was always very awkward in the real world. It was a very different environment than the world inside my head. And in a weird way, it hampered me because I did stay in my imagination, right? All the things you imagine and dream, well, I could make those things come true by putting them on the television screen and sharing them with an audience. But that had nothing to do with me personally.
You know what I just had this crazy vision of? I had this incredible vision of you in your, you know, at your debt, you're writing all this stuff, you're up in your imagination and living in this world, and yet you have this experience of having this small world and yet feeling blocked by fear. Yeah. Do you know how many millions of people around the world were sitting on their couches, escaping their small lives
through
the characters and the worlds that you were building? And in when you watch the work that you do, you can't help but think of something bigger. You can't help but think about different relationships. Can't help but think about different moments in history. And you open us up to this bigger possibility. But then you know what happens? The show's over.
Right. And you go back to your life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Same for me.
I mean,
exactly. I just got to live in it longer. And so in a lot of ways was tricked by it longer, I think, because I was living this glorious existence inside of a television screen on a soundstage that had nothing to do with the world.
Wow. Why does saying no and allowing your fear of trying anything new or putting yourself out there or even just showing up at a networking event or whatever it may be that you're saying no to, why does that feel like it's safe or it's somehow protecting you?
Well, I mean, you know the environment at home. You know the environment you're in. There's nothing unknown about it.
Before diving into personal insights, it's crucial to understand speaker A's journey of self-discovery, where they confronted fears of isolation and the societal pressure to conform. This pivotal moment led to a transformative realization about their relationship with commitment, setting the stage for an exploration of personal authenticity and the courage to define one's own path.
I could imagine being a mom from the time I was a kid. There was never a husband involved. I always say, like, I had a Ken doll and I kept Barbie shoes in his head. Like, that was what he was for in a lot of ways. And it's not that I don't love dating and love. I just got engaged and felt suffocated in a way that terrified me. Yeah. And I was also really bothered by the fact that I got engaged to somebody and I have all of these accolades and accomplishments. And the excitement and joy that somebody else wanted to marry me, people rejoiced like a war had ended. Like, it was crazy. You know, far more interested and excited about that than any award, my three children, anything else. And that also really bothered me. And I really think I worried about losing myself and losing the definition of who I was because I was going to have to share another piece of my brain with somebody else. You know, children take up a lot. Yeah. Writing takes up a lot. But there was that.
Yeah. So what was the hardest?
The hardest thing, I think, was to admit it
to
myself and especially to the other person. I mean, I think there's something terrible about putting somebody else in that position. I'm a writer. I had imagined this whole thing into you know, life. I had made plans and created ideas and talked about it and realized that I was putting a lot of fiction into the idea of what I wanted my life to be, but none of it had anything to do with the reality of what I wanted my life to be.
Oh,
yeah. You know, I'd bought the fairy tale. I really had, I think. And saying that I didn't want to do that, saying yes to not being a person who wants to get married, It was really hard to let that definition sit inside me, but it also was the greatest relief that I ever felt when I finally said, like, no, I don't want to do this. And that's how I know I'd done the right thing.
Could you talk to the person who's listening right now, who has that just tension and suffocating feeling?
Yeah.
And just describe like that moment and what you want them to know is true when you find the courage to first say yes to yourself, even if it means saying no to somebody who's a good person, they're just not your person.
I mean, there's nothing like that feeling. And I think we're all raised to believe this fairy tale, right? We've all been indoctrinated into it. I don't care what it is. The things that you're told you're supposed to want, you're supposed to want. And when you don't want them, part of you feels like something's wrong with you. But part of you feels like, well, I've got to figure this out and sort of shove myself into whatever box I'm supposed to be in. And I remember feeling panicked at all times. I literally remember people saying, you're glowing, and me thinking, I'm sweating. Like, I'm not glowing. Oh, I'm sweating with panic. And just not able to mold myself into this idea of what you're supposed to want to be. And I think there are so many people, men and women, so many people who feel like this.
Yes.
Who feel like these are the things I'm supposed to want. And if yes. I don't want them, I'm somehow wrong. So I better get it together and make myself want them. And I think for so many of us, you can feel yourself dying on the vine. You really can. Like, I felt like I would think about what life would be like and I would panic. I have nightmares. I was having sleepless nights. I was really worrying about, like, how would this work? And yet at the same time, I really love this person. This person was wonderful. But their idea of what perfect life was and mine were completely different things, right? Completely different things. And for me, you know, I would say the biggest yes that I said yes to was difficult conversation.
Can you please talk a little bit more about that? Because I don't want to have difficult conversations, Shauna.
I don't think any of us do. I think we all instinctively run from conflict as much as we possibly can. I mean, I think that's just a fact. I still struggle with trying not to run away. But the reality of it is the energy you expend, like making it okay that somebody else is doing something that you're afraid to talk to them about, the work that's involved in sitting with whatever it is they're doing that's driving you crazy or whatever it is that's happening to you that you won't confront, is so much more depleting than actually just saying the thing that you need to say. And I mean, I was really bad at it. My work example is that I used to try to, you know, I used to have to let people go sometimes. Mm. I have fired people who did not know they were fired and came to work the next day. Because I swear to God, because I was so scared of having the conversation. You know, the thing where you like say lovely things to get them started and settled in, and then you say the hard thing, and then that does not work for me. Because I would say all the lovely things and I'd watch people's faces grow more hopeful and more engaged and more comfortable. And then I'm like, and now I'm supposed to hit them with a hammer? Like, that's not gonna happen. Lately I've started, not in a really cruel way, but in a way that's really frank, is I'm like, just don't bury the lead. Like, start with, this is not working and here's why.
Yes.
And then go from there. Because otherwise, if I have to hold off while I'm saying all the night, I'm never going to say it. I can't bear the conflict. So to me, I'm like, you have to have the difficult conversations because the peace it brings you is incredible. The peace it might bring the other person is incredible. To have it be acknowledged out loud that this thing is not working is great.
Right.
But you really have to be willing to say the hard thing. And I'm always like, say the hard thing first, if you can. That way, I don't have to worry that maybe I have never said it at all, which is the other thing. I was like, that meeting went great. And then the next day, there they were.
Oh my God.
And I realized I'd never said it because I'd been so busy trying to figure out a way to make them feel good.
Yes.
And not have the conflict happen.
You've been saying yes to them and them feeling good versus saying yes to just telling the truth and saying, this is going to be a really difficult conversation, but I need to have it with you.
Right. You're trying to avoid the storm, but the storm is still happening inside you because you won't get it out. Right.
I love that example because you can see it and I can see you in the meeting, but it's relatable because how many of us have wanted to break up with somebody for 6 months
and you can't get it out.
You can't get it out. And then you wake up and there they are again next to you in bed.
And suddenly you've been together for so long that it feels really, really horrible what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
The pain of that is so much worse. Yeah. I really have a thing about getting difficult conversations going and like just leaning into the idea of it versus running away. You know, having those conversations about things that you generally just try to avoid to keep from hurting another person, to keep from feeling uncomfortable with what you're doing. Having that difficult conversation, I think, saved my life in lots of ways. I think it really hurt somebody else, but I also think it saved their lives in lots of ways because what would their life have been like married to me? You know, when I didn't want to be married. And I think it frees you. Like, it's terrible to have to admit something that you know is going to hurt somebody else. But it's also the kindest thing you can do for them if the alternative is that they're going to be stuck in a life that they didn't want either.
I'm just sitting here thinking about the fact that you have written this scene so many times. Like, how long did you just feel that tension? Because I think that's the other thing that happens in life is that you know in your heart, in the quiet moments, what's actually a yes and what's a no.
You do. You do. It's hard to listen to yourself, though, because everybody else is telling you what's a yes and what's a no, right?
Yes.
Everybody else is telling you how to live. For me, you know, I feel like I've been working this out in my characters for so long, and I don't even think I realized it. You know, Meredith Grey never really wanted to get married either.
As the conversation unfolds, it's clear that the pivotal moments of recognizing unhappiness and navigating personal truths set the stage for deeper reflections. This next segment dives into how rearranging one's physical space can mirror internal shifts, exploring the profound connection between our environments and our sense of self.
Is that why we rearrange our furniture in our houses all the time? We're actually rearranging the thoughts in our brain.
I think so. I think we're trying to see ourselves differently. Yeah. I do think I really do think that. When you rearrange spaces, I think that's what that is.
Yes.
So at a certain point, I thought, like, I really hate it here. Like, what I realized in that period of time was, is that the life I was living, as beautiful and fantastic as it was to other people, was not working. Like, it just was not working. And I didn't feel at home in my own home. I didn't feel at home in my own city. I didn't feel like I was living in the best place in the world to raise my kids. I didn't feel like I was even doing my job correctly in a way that was giving me the chance to be a person and not just a working mother. And this is post year of yes. This is post my year of yes, where I thought I had it all figured out.
Yeah.
When you suddenly discover you have nothing figured out. You've been doing, following on your little rules that work, but you've never stopped to examine, are they still working? And I made the decision that we were going to move during the pandemic. And I think I used a lot as my excuse that there were going to be schools open where we were going.
Okay.
But we moved. Like, I went to a place I'd seen twice, and then we moved there to the country in Connecticut.
Did everyone think you're crazy?
Everyone thought I was insane. My sister came along with me on the trip to, like, look at houses to convince me that I couldn't possibly move there.
We love your sister.
And then she ended up buying a farm town over, like a little farmer town over, and moving there too. My parents thought I was crazy. And then they moved there, like, 6 months later, I want to say it was, or maybe like a year later, they were like, you took our grandkids, and suddenly they were there. It turned out to be a great move, but it was really about having the courage to look at my life and go, this isn't work. Like, how am I going to create a life for myself that I'm going to be proud to be living?
I want to reflect back to you what I think happened.
Yeah.
Because as I've been hanging on every word, and after devouring your book, what's very clear is that stopping with every decision and really just asking yourself for real, is this a yes? Is this saying yes to me, or is this
exactly
like a no to me? Like, is this saying yes to me or yes to somebody else? It starts small. Mm-hmm. It starts in the most kind of subtle surface level stuff.
It really does.
Is yes to the party, or is it, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just start to do it with the events, and then you start to realize you've been saying no to your body. You've been saying no to your health. You've been saying no to your spirituality. You've been saying no to the way you want to live. And it just starts to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And the reason why you could have that awakening and recognize that you were itchy and a no in your own house is because you had started.
I'd done the work from right. I'd started on the outside and worked inward.
Yes.
And I think so.
And you cannot convince me otherwise, Shonda, that you have such an extraordinarily amazing possibility for your life. Like, as you're listening, as you're watching right now, there is a possibility for your life that is beyond your imagination right now. Mm. And you will not be able to connect to it until you start to scrape away at all the ways that you've been saying.
All the things that are covering
it. Yes.
My father always says the only limit to your success is your own imagination. And he's right. But it's like getting to the place where we can actually see and hear our imagination at work.
Yes.
In the way that it should be.
Yes.
Is really interesting. How we envision our world for ourselves is everything.
And when you're so focused on saying yes to everybody else, or saying, allowing your fear to keep you from saying yes, you can't tap into that for yourself.
You absolutely can't. Because also you're on a path. Like I had my head down. I was trained. I was like, this is what I'm doing. And obviously it's working because everybody else is saying, great job. And then being able to scrape away all of what everybody else expects, what everybody else thinks is right, what I've been afraid to admit to myself. You're really just left with this very simple, quiet voice that can tell you the truth about yourself. Mm.
Well, I love this vision of you. I can see, I can't see the kitchen, but I can see you on the floor. I can see you like scrubbing away, like, you know, just like something's wrong. And what I also love about the story is that there's something deeply spiritual about what you're doing, because most of us live our lives up in our heads. Mm. We're disconnected from our source of power in here.
Exactly.
And using this framework, saying yes for a year to everything that scares you and allowing it to work its magic and remove all of the bullshit, frankly, that is like taking up your time and energy, it helps you drop back into here, which allows you to hear the deeper voice.
I agree. It puts you back in your body in a way that I didn't expect at all.
How has your definition of success changed in the last 10 years based on the deeper connection that you have to what matters to you and who you are?
You know, I used to say it jokingly, and then I stopped saying it jokingly. I used to say, I want to take over the world through television. And I used to say it jokingly in the beginning because I was too afraid to like admit that that was kind of my goal. And then I sort of owned that as my goal. And then that became my only goal. And now I'm in a place now where I don't care about, like, that's not the point. The point is I want to really love what I'm doing while I'm doing it. Mm. I want to find joy in my work and in my life. You know what I mean? I want to feel like I'm dropped into everything versus I'm just blindly pursuing a path. Mm. That has made a huge difference. And obviously I'm lucky that I have the resources to do that. But I think it's for anybody, no matter what it is you're doing for a living, there is a way of looking at your life where you're thinking, the conversation I want to be having with myself has to be more fulfilling than I've been having. I want to be able to feel like I can lie in bed at night and feel proud of who I am. I want to treat myself with a lot more love. I think that for everybody is the bigger goal. And I don't think we have time or give ourselves a chance to really think about that.
Well, and you talked early on about just when your life feels very small, that there is so much fear. And if you're listening or watching and you have that sense, like, Shauna, I want that, Shauna, like, I want to have that awakening, but I do feel small. I do feel like I lie in bed and think about all the things that I want. And I know there's something more in store for me, but I'm scared to death to trust it. And I don't even know how to start. What would you say to that person?
You know, we are far more capable than we give ourselves credit for. We really are. I never would have imagined that my life would change in this way. It sounds crazy, but it's really true. I'm a completely different person than I was 10 years ago and a completely different person than I was a year before that when I wrote the book. It's how it happens. So what I would say to that person is you can start small. Just start with the idea of yes to talking to yourself like you matter. Like even just the voice that you give yourself in your head, the way you treat yourself, even just try that. Like start saying like, I'm not a fearful person. I'm okay with this. You know, the words that we say to ourselves is like casting a spell. After a while, you say them enough, you know, they start to really mean something to you. You start to believe them and you start to live them. And so if you're giving yourself enough negative self-talk, that stuff becomes real after a while.
I want to make sure you just heard what Shauna Rhimes just told you. The words you say to yourself
are like a spell. They really are. And I feel like the magic can be terrible that they work on you, or it can be amazing. But the words you say to yourself start to become real to you the more that you say them.
And the more you say yes to things that make you afraid, the more you discover the courage inside you.
That's all for today. Visit podsummarizer.xyz and start creating summaries of your own podcast in just seconds. Don't miss it.